Welcome back to the Niners Wire podcast. I'm Chris Biederman with Rob Lauder, as always. We're 10 days away from the NFL draft, and the 49ers, obviously, they have the number two overall pick. There's a lot of chatter about what direction they're going to go. They have 10 picks total. And we are very lucky to be joined by Bleacher Report's lead draft analyst, Matt Miller. Matt, how you doing?
Doing well, guys. Hey, thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for being here. So, you've written a lot about Leonard Fournette, and other people have reported that the 49ers are really interested. And you're plugged into the team. You know what they're thinking when it comes to this stuff. I'm curious, given the background of Kyle Shanahan and his dad Mike and running back coach Bobby Turner, and seems like throughout, you know, their time with Washington and Denver, with guys like Alfred Morris, and then in Atlanta with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, that these guys have typically gotten a lot of production out of, you know, mid and late round running backs. So I was surprised to hear that the 49ers were so high on someone like Leonard Fournette with the number two pick. And I'm just curious, what's your take on that situation, and what are you hearing from them?
Yeah, well, I'll say this. The 49ers have done a great job of kind of going dark here over the last little while. You know, like, especially the difference between under Trent Baalke, this was a team that they talked, you know, quite a bit, pretty freely. And that's really changed a lot now with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan running the show. So it makes my job a little bit harder. But I do know that the way that most teams look at this, you know, running back class especially, is that, you know, sometimes there's just a great talent that comes along and you kind of throw everything else out the window. You know, everything that might say, hey, we don't draft a running back at number two overall. Well, you might this year for a guy like Leonard Fournette. And to your point, I think that, you know, the Shanahan family tree has a reputation of, okay, we can get 1,000-yard backs out of guys like Mike Anderson and, these no-name players, whether it's in Denver or Washington or then when Kyle was in Cleveland, or, you know, obviously he had some great backs in Atlanta. But I think you're the 49ers, you look at, you know, what is your identity right now? And you really don't have one. And I think a lot of fans misunderstand who Carlos Hyde is at this point in his career because he's been so hurt. And because he was a second-round draft pick, a lot of people think that, you know, he's still a marquee player, but he really hasn't proven himself to be one at this point. So I would say the Niners are a team that could absolutely go running back at two overall. I would say Leonard Fournette is a player that you would maybe buck conventional wisdom where you would normally say, gosh, we don't want to draft a running back at two. I think you have to take that draft class by draft class and look at where this year's class stacks up. And if Myles Garrett is off the board, you know, there's not a conventional wisdom pick at number two, unless you somehow fall in love with Mitch Trubisky, because there's not a quarterback, there's not an offensive tackle. It's a team that's going back-to-back defensive line, even though that was an old scouting staff. So, like, it's really a bad year to have the number two pick, so I think that's why someone like Fournette can make more sense.
Now, Matt, this is Rob here, just kind of jumping in. You've put a lot of effort and said it a million times that there's a difference between what you think a team will do and what you would do if you were in the front office. So if you were sitting there and you were in charge of the 49ers' number two pick, where would you go? And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be one player, but who would be on your little mini big board at pick number two?
God, I'd be trying like hell to trade out.
Definitely.
And it's weird because, like, I really like Leonard Fournette, and I really like Reuben Foster, and I really like Jamal Adams. But I don't see any of those guys as being true, you know, like number two overall players. Like, they would be a good number five overall player just because of the positional value. Like, if I'm building a team and I have to commit number two overall pick money, gosh, it's hard to give that kind of money to a running back or a strong safety. So this is a really hard question. So I guess what I would do is just, you know, hey, it's best player available. And for me, that would be Leonard Fournette if Myles Garrett is gone. I know taking a running back at that point is kind of crazy, but, you know, at least you're going to have someone on offense you can rely on. I like the direction they've gone with the offensive line. Getting, you know, Kyle Juszczyk in the backfield, you're going to have a power run game to help out, you know, Brian Hoyer or Matt Barkley or whoever's starting at quarterback. So it's not a pick you're going to be high-fiving everybody in the war room over, but I would go with Fournette there just because I feel like he can give you an offensive identity.
Yeah, one guy that we've written a lot on our side, or at least I have, is Ohio State's free safety Malik Hooker. And for me, he makes sense at number two, and I know he's dealing with injury stuff, and obviously safeties typically don't go that high and haven't in quite some time, not since Eric Berry, I think, was the last top 10 free safety to get taken. Just given the fit on the defense and how valuable the free safety spot is to what they want to do. And to me, you know, you look at Earl Thomas and what he does with Seattle, and it sort of allows them to play that scheme with eight in the box that they like to run. So is Hooker a guy you think could be a possibility at two, or is his inability to work out leading up to the draft a real issue for teams? And could that maybe cause him to slip a little bit?
I think, and I'm not trying to like hedge on this at all, I think almost anyone is possible at two, because we have no idea what this new front office values. You know, it's like, you have a first-time head coach and a first-time GM. Like, when does that happen? You know, so it's I think it would be foolish of me to pretend like I know that, nope, Malik Hooker can't be drafted at two. I think he very well could be, especially with, you have a defensive coordinator who, like you said, your scheme needs a free safety. You need someone with range over the top. So if you've fallen in love with Malik Hooker's range and instincts and ball skills, and I definitely have, then I don't think you can rule him out. Now it's on your doctors to say whether or not a guy is, you know, a risk long term. And I've had teams tell me that Marshon Lattimore is more of a risk long term than Malik Hooker, because it's not a reoccurring thing, you know. And he played through the hernia and the labrum tear, and played three games through it, and had some pretty damn good games in that time span. So I think you kind of have to, you know, look at everything in a bubble and say, you know, normally, you know, we wouldn't want a free safety here, but you know, this kid is rare. You know, I've heard people compare him to Earl Thomas and Eric Berry and, you know, Ed Reed and like crazy talented players. So I think with, you know, with Hooker, it's not something I would do, but we can't rule it out for sure. So even with, you know, Eric Reed there and so many picks, you know, gone to the secondary when Balky was the GM, like you really can't rule anything out at this point.
Now, one of the, I would probably say, the most popular player to get mocked to the 49ers right now is Stanford's Solomon Thomas. How do you see him fitting into this defense? Do you think he's worth the number two pick? Because, you know, before the Sun Bowl, he kind of seemed like he was getting a lot of, you know, late first round, early second round love. And then he dominated on the Sun Bowl. And then all of a sudden he's in the conversation for a top five pick. Do you think the 49ers are going to give him some serious consideration?
I do think they'll give him serious consideration. And like you said, he came on the scene late. I think some of that was because he's a redshirt sophomore. It's like no one really expected him to declare or hadn't done the work on him. That was at least my case. You know, I'd heard about him and okay, yeah, well, he's a redshirt sophomore, so I'll check him out after the year. And, you know, once you look at him, he's so good. Like you said, the Sun Bowl, he destroyed that North Carolina line. And I think a lot of people saw him as like an Aaron Donald type, you know, because of his first step quickness. I've heard the same rumors that have been reported that the Niners love Solomon Thomas, but at this point, it feels like the Niners have been connected to about eight different guys at the number two spot. So, you know, my hunch is that they're trying to drum up some trade interest by connecting themselves to Fournette or Foster or Thomas or Hooker or Lattimore, like whoever the hot name is. You could bet the Niners are linked to that guy at number two right now. So I like Solomon Thomas. You know, he's a young guy. He's a little undersized, and I know this is, you know, maybe not the most intelligent thing I'm ever going to say, but I hate the idea of using three first-round picks in a row on defensive linemen. Even though they're different guys, like, I feel like at some point you gotta think outside the box. So, you know, if you have the same grade on Reuben Foster and Solomon Thomas, I'd rather have Reuben Foster just to get something different, because it's, even now that they're moving to a 4-3 scheme, how are all these guys going to fit? You know, I mean, it's Solomon Thomas, you know, I think in that scheme, he's probably an ideal three technique. So where do you play Buckner? And, you know, and even if you try to play him outside on the defensive end, you know, you have to think about, you know, Lynch is a pretty good player when he's eligible to be on the field. And I think you start to just overcrowd your defensive line when you go with someone like Solomon Thomas. So I might be overthinking it, but for me, that's why he's just not a very logical pick at two. But again, we have no idea what to expect from this front office. So they could go crazy. And what I would say is the New York Jets drafted three straight defensive linemen, and now they're trying to get rid of the first two they drafted. So it's not a great team building look when you overcrowd that one, you know, one position group with so many early picks.
Yeah, I would agree with you on Thomas. And you know, it leads to sort of this idea, and John Lynch talked about it with us last week. Like, he's open for business. He's making it known that he's fielding calls and shopping that number two pick. And talking about Thomas and the other guys that we've mentioned, it seems like, and you pointed it out, there's no clear second best prospect behind Myles Garrett. So, you know, with that in mind, does that make it more difficult for the 49ers to trade back in this class? Because, you know, last year, obviously, with the quarterbacks at the top, you had Cleveland was able to get that package from Philadelphia that included multiple first-round picks. Could the 49ers get a package similar to that? Or is the fact that there isn't a clear-cut number two guy or a surefire quarterback prospect, is that going to hurt them in trade talks and maybe lead to them getting a package that might not be as valuable as years past for the number two pick?
Yeah, I think it becomes harder to trade it when there's not that marquee player. And that could be why we're seeing, you know, the Niners talk up a lot of guys like, oh, we love DeShone Kizer. And then, you know, they've loved so many people in this class already. So I think that's part of it is the gamesmanship of you want someone to trade up. And, you know, like myself and others have been saying that, gosh, the Browns love Mitch Trubisky. So if you're the 49ers, what do? You let everybody in the world know that you're working him out and that you're sending the owner and, you know, you're trying to get that information out there to drum up trade interest. And, you know, I'm, you know, having grown up a Niners fan, like the next 10 days are going to be just frustrating for me because I'm trying to figure out who they're going to pick for my job. But I'm also trying to figure it out as a fan, you know, of like what direction is this team going in? And I would love to see a trade back, like I told you at the top, but I think it is harder this year and you probably would take a little less value. But, you know, if the Browns want to trade 12 and 33 to come up and go to 2 and get Trubisky, I think you start the conversation there. And they have so many picks that, you know, you could probably ask for a second round pick next year and end up with, you know, 12, 33 and an early 2 next year, which is a pretty good value in a class that doesn't have an elite quarterback or an elite left tackle. And the elite defensive end is going to go first overall.
Yeah, so you touched on it a little bit, but what makes sense to you in terms of trading back? Do they maybe go as far back into the 20s? Maybe if a team is willing to throw in a future first round pick or maybe a team with multiple second round picks. What would make the most sense to you if you were in that draft room and you were fielding trade offers from other teams?
Yeah, I wouldn't go back very far because like while this is a deep draft class, I think it has a handful of really good players. You know, like we could take Myles Garrett off because he's kind of out there by himself as a really elite player. But, you know, after that, like there's a cluster of about 6 or 7 guys who are pretty similarly graded. So what I would do in that situation is, you know, if you could trade back to 12, that's probably as far back as I would go. And, you know, maybe it's a little harder to, you know, you could look at the board and say there aren't very many teams picking, you know, 11 to 3 that would have an incentive to trade up. But you know, maybe the Bills at 10 want to come up and get Trubisky because they've worked him out and had ownership involved as well. But I wouldn't try to get back much farther than 10 or 12 unless somebody's offering a ton of draft picks. Like, you know, like you said, like you're giving up an RG3 like amount trade if you want to move back any farther than that, just because of there is some talent at the top of this class. And then I think it bottoms out a little bit. So, you know, if you trade back to, you know, let's just say hypothetically, if you trade back to 13 so the Cardinals could come up, you know, you're probably looking at someone like Hassan Reddick instead of someone like Reuben Foster, or you're looking at Derek Barnett instead of Solomon Thomas, or, you know, it might be Quincy Wilson or Marlon Humphrey instead of Marshawn Lattimore and Gary Conley. So you start to see a pretty significant dip in talent once you get outside of, you know, that 10, 11, 12 spot.
Now, one of the, you know, obviously when we're talking about the number two pick, it's impossible to ignore, you know, quarterbacks, especially with the 49ers. Now, I think it's been a consensus that there really isn't a quarterback that's definitely worth number two. That doesn't mean that a quarterback won't go number two, but are there any quarterbacks, whether they be in the first round and still in the conversation for the 49ers or maybe later in the draft that you think the 49ers are going to be taking a look at?
What's weird is I don't actually, like, I know they're working a lot of them out, but, and I don't in any way believe that Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley are the future, but I'm just so convinced that Kirk Cousins is the quarterback of this team in 2018, that if a quarterback is drafted early, it'll surprise me because it seems like the more likely thing is to get someone like Brad Kaya in the fourth round, you know, who could be like a good backup and maybe you try to develop him and maybe you try to flip him later on. But I don't see, you know, I don't see a way that you draft Davis Webb or Deshaun Kizer at, you know, when at pick 34, or, you know, when you get even past that, you know, when you're coming up at 66, I don't see them going after, you know, like Nate Peterman or Josh Dobbs or anyone like that. So I would, again, this is a me versus what they might do. I would look at rounds, you know, 4 and 5 and try to get a guy like Kaya or someone I could develop a little bit instead of, you know, going after someone like Kizer in the second round or Davis Webb, who, you know, they're both good players. But I think when you, you know, you have a situation that there's a lot of an odd amount of structure because of the 6-year contracts and because of what they did in free agency. So there's not that immediate need to come in and bring a guy right away. So if they took one at 2, I'd be shocked. If they took one at 34, I'd be very, very surprised, just because of the how bad the roster is overall and the need to just, you know, like get the best player available. Don't worry about positional needs right now.
You know, one thing that, you know, is always an interesting point of discussion at this time of year is drafting for need and how guys fit your scheme versus drafting, you know, the best players available. And obviously in this draft, particularly in the secondary, you look at some of the cornerbacks with, you know, good size and good length who would excel in kind of the press man cover three scheme the 49ers want to run. But there are also guys maybe like Adoree Jackson who might be higher up on boards, but not necessarily fit the scheme to a T, maybe without, you know, some development. And I asked Kyle Shanahan this week about that, and he said, you know, drafting for scheme and for fit is a little bit overrated. Ultimately, any scheme's going to look good if you have good players. So, you know, with the 49ers transitioning to that, you know, Seahawks-style defense, do you see them going after some of these longer guys, these corners with good length, or are they going to be pretty vigilant and sticking to their board and just trying to get the best guys regardless of the scheme they're trying to run?
Well, I think you definitely want to get – you have to get more size because you're going to press. And if you don't have size, you have to have great technique. So there, you know, you don't have to have Richard Sherman, but you do need to have physical players. And I think that's one thing that Jacksonville did, you know, fairly well, even though it didn't translate yet onto the field, was they got really physical corners. So, you know, for the Niners, when you look at what they have right now, you know, like Jimmy Ward, if he stays at corner, you know, is a shorter guy, even though he's kind of stout. I don't think he's a press corner. Dante Johnson, if he's a corner, probably fits that mold a little bit more. I love Rashard Robinson. If he can get a little bit stronger and you know, make sure he's right off the field because he's had some issues there in the past, I think Rashard Robinson could be a very good corner for you down the road. And hopefully he's, you know, fully committed to the off season program and it can get a little bit stronger. But as far as the draft goes, yeah, I think you would love physical players. And, you know, Marlon Humphrey definitely fits that mold. Kevin King fits that mold just because of their size and their length. But, you know, there are other players that you could, you know, target a little bit later in the draft that would still be a pretty good fit. Like, I think Jalen Tabor is a great press corner if you're okay with the off-field. And, you know, Akella Witherspoon from Colorado, who you probably have like a fourth-round grade on a guy like that, but in a press scheme, he could play earlier than you would expect. And Rasul Douglas from West Virginia, even though he was a JUCO kid who only played 2 years there, he is a good press corner, and he's played boundary and field corner, so he has some versatility. This is, I think, a good year to need players that fit that scheme because there's the corner class is big this year, you know, and you could find someone in round 2, absolutely round 2, and even in round 3, and maybe Witherspoon around 4 that could come in and I think be starters right out of the gate.
And, you know, we talked about Malik Hooker a little bit, but given the importance of that free safety spot, and, you know, the need for range on the back end, what other guys maybe further down the board do you think would make sense for the 49ers at that back end if they're not convinced Jimmy Ward can transition to that spot?
Well, I mean, I love Buda Baker. You know, he's probably a guy you would have to grab at 34 just because of his talent. And he played all over that Washington defense. You know, he played some of the slot. But he's a hitter. He's a little bit small, but he has great instincts. You know, he's a ball hawk. So I would like him at that deep free safety spot. Marcus Williams from Utah would be another one that I like him as just a free safety because he's not a great hitter, but he has very, very good instincts. So I like him in that role as a single high free safety. You know, after that, you're probably getting down to, you know, you're starting to scrape the bottom of the barrel. Like, Eddie Jackson from Alabama, because he's played corner in the past. I think there's some potential there, but I'm not crazy about Eddie Jackson like some other people are. I actually gave him a day three grade just because of some of the injury stuff and lack of athleticism that I've seen. But this is a year where safety's deep, but I feel like to get an impact player, especially at free safety, you're probably have to go early, because I would say this is a better year for strong safeties. You know, the two guys who might be interesting would be Jabril Peppers and Marcus May, just because May has played kind of that free, strong, you know, he's moved around a lot in that Florida secondary, especially when Keanu Neal was there. And then with Peppers, like, he's athletic enough to do it, even though he hasn't before, you know, because he played corner and then he played kind of like a money linebacker role. But I definitely think he's athletic enough to patrol deep. I mean, he absolutely has the range. He has the speed. So he would be someone that would be interesting as like a little bit of a project back there, and see if you can make him work as a free safety, because it's going to be a great return, man. And if he ever gets the ball in his hands, it's going to be pretty dangerous.
Absolutely. Now, one thing I, you know, that my limited knowledge tells me is that it seems like a really, really deep draft class for pass rushers. And it seems like, you know, to your point that you were making earlier, maybe the 49ers don't go quarterback within the first three rounds, because if you're going quarterback at that point and you're not really committing to that quarterback being a starter, you're definitely passing up some pretty legitimate talent at pass rusher. And coordinator Robert Saleh made it a point in his press conference to kind of, you know, he didn't seem like that spot was locked down. You know, he said, we're still looking for that Leo, that pass rusher, hair on fire type. What are some of the guys, and it doesn't necessarily have to be first round, what are some of the guys you think would be some good value for the 49ers?
Yeah, what's weird is, like, I really like Derek Barnett in that role of a Leo, but he's not someone you draft at two. So it's like, if there were a trade back scenario, I think he fits there pretty well. I like Derek Rivers in that role too. I think Jordan Willis from Kansas State could do it. Like, he tested so much better than he played. So, like, that's where I'm kind of torn with a guy like Willis, is which one am I getting? You know, like, am I getting the guy we saw at the Senior Bowl and the guy at the Combine, or the guy who at Kansas State hit 11 and a half sacks? A lot of them were uncontested. So I think they could both definitely fit that role of someone who's, like you said, you want a guy who's, you know, hair on fire, screaming down the line of scrimmage and has some versatility for you. So though they would be two fits for me in round two. If, you know, obviously there's not a player at two that you're taking if Myles Garrett isn't there. So the depth of edge this year, I think it's pretty good, but it's more of guys who you would like fit in the old defense, you know, who would stand up and play outside linebacker a little bit, because like, I don't see Charles Harris or Taco Charlton, or like maybe Tackrest McKinley could play Leo, but like they're not great fits there. And even like, I think TJ Watt, because he's going to have to get stronger and fill out, like, he's not even my ideal fit in that role.
So another important spot that Saleh talked a little bit about with us this last week is the Sam linebacker spot. And it seems like Ahmad Brooks is going to be the favorite to, at least for now, to start at that role come September. But obviously Brooks is 33. They have Eli Harold, who improved a little bit in his second season, but I still think the 49ers want more production out of him, being a former third round pick. Are there guys in this draft that can play that Leo spot, both as pass rushers and as guys who can, you know, maybe cover in space?
Yeah, that's one place where like someone like TJ Watt might be interesting, because he might be able to hold down that side a little bit better. The one guy from Houston, Tyus Bowser, was someone that I ranked initially at edge and then moved him to linebacker just because of how well I thought he covered. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he has long arms, great speed in space. So I can see him being a pretty good fit in that mold of someone who could, you know, set the edge. He could rush the quarterback. He can play in space, like you said, in coverage. So he would be a pretty good fit if he's there in round two. There's been some talk that, you know, he might end up being a late first round pick, maybe someone like Oakland. But I don't think it's a great class for that fit. And, you know, I'm with you. Like, I think the Sam linebacker position is a hard one to fill, and I'm not the biggest Ahmad Brooks fan, especially as he's got to be tapping the end of his career right now. So, you know, you could maybe look at someone like Raekwon McMillan from Ohio State come in and be that guy. Ryan Anderson from Alabama would also be pretty interesting to me, just because of his ability with power to set the edge.
Now, one of the positions that it's no secret that the 49ers have neglected for quite some time is wide receiver. You know, they haven't really drafted a receiver before the fourth round since, you know, the guy you're not really supposed to talk about in A.J. Jenkins. So, you know, is that something you could see them trying to – I guess that would be another situation where they'd need to trade back. Is that something you could see them trying to do in the first round? Or, is that kind of – you know, they got Pierre Garçon in free agency and a couple other guys. So is that still something you think they could be trying to seriously invest in, or are they looking at more mid-round guys?
I think one of the, like, really encouraging things about Kyle Shanahan as a head coach is that how well he fits his scheme to what's available. And there have always been some, like, mainstays to that scheme, and one of them is, like, a speedy receiver. So I'm excited to see what Marquise Goodwin can do. Like you said, Garçon was added. So I don't think there's that immediate pressure to add a receiver, definitely not at the number two pick overall. It's a good receiver class. It's not a great one. I ended up with two guys with a round one grade, just Mike Williams and Corey Davis. I had too many question marks about John Ross's size and his injury history to put him in round one. So even at the top of round two, there's not anyone I would consider to be a great value there. I think where you probably find better value is in round three with someone like Carlos Henderson or Chris Godwin or Josh Reynolds. Those are more the players that I would expect that would be in the 49ers range. But I also thought at the time the reason they loaded up on receivers in free agency was because they didn't like this receiver class, and especially with where you're picking. So, you know, if you have, you know, I'm not the biggest Jeremy Curley or Bruce Ellington fan, but, you know, they round out a unit pretty well. And especially if you can get someone who, you know, is just a good scheme fit and Kyle can figure out ways to get him the ball, then this looks like a little bit better class. So, and especially with the running back should be catching the ball quite a bit, I don't think there's that immediate need. So I would say middle rounds is where a receiver is maybe a bigger priority. But, you know, my hope is that it's a true best player available draft because of how poor this roster is. And because there are so many, like, young guys who haven't turned the corner, and, you know, we still have no idea what they are, like Eric Armstead, you know, first round pick, and we still really don't know what he's going to become. So I think you keep turning that talent over, and receivers, definitely, like you said, an area that has been ignored for so long, and so many great players were overlooked. And so I would like to see one added, just not real early in the draft.
That's great stuff. So what are you going to do, like, May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th after this draft is over? Are you, like, taking a flight somewhere? Are you going to post up on a beach with a frosty beverage, or what's your plan?
Gosh, I wish. That sounds great right now. No, what's funny is May 1st, I have a 2018 mock draft coming out.
Oh, and
May 2nd, I have a 2018 big board coming out, man. Maybe not my idea of how the schedule should run, but, you know, when the boss says jump, you say how high, and so that's what we're doing. It's going to be interesting. One cool thing is, you know, I don't know if you guys saw, but I will be launching a podcast in 2 days, and
one thing I'm excited to do, stick to football. Yes. Matt, don't plug your podcast here.
The one thing I'm excited about is that, like, this summer I will actually have a platform to go back and really evaluate the draft, because, like, the week after the draft is really busy for me. And then it dies. So, like, I'm stoked that we're going to be able to go back and, you know, look at each team's draft and kind of process it a little bit deeper than maybe we ever have in the past at Bleacher Report. So, no, I don't. I'm not going away anytime soon. I think the entire month of May, I'll be at work every day. So it'll be fun, though.
Oh, wow. Okay. So to put you on the spot in closing, if, you know, if you had to make a decision right now, just a guess on everything you know and what you've heard and all the research you've done, who are the 49ers going to end up with on April 27th?
Oh, gosh. I've heard so much conflicting information just within the last
few hours.
You got to
pick one. You got to go with one.
I'll go Reuben Foster. I know how much that he was liked in that building as of recently. And it makes sense. Like we just, you know, talked about for 30 minutes, like, I don't know that you go running back there. I don't know that you go defensive line there. So getting him as a, you know, future replacement for Navarro Bowman and what you could do with him in the middle of the defense, that's where I'm at right now. But in 10 days, I'm probably going to have a different opinion.
Well, good. We appreciate all your insight. That was really great stuff. And yeah, good luck with the draft and everything. And I hope at some point you get to hang out at a beach somewhere, get some fresh air and avoid some football tape for a minute.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Matt.
So Matt says Reuben Foster, if he had a gun to his head right now, would be the guy the 49ers take at some point, whether it be number two or maybe trading back from that second overall pick. I think it makes a lot of sense. You talk about big picture in the long term. You know, Malcolm Smith is 29. Navarro Bowman's obviously, you know, maybe a little bit past his physical prime, given the fact that he's coming off a second significant injury to that left leg of his. So, you know, there might be a question initially about where Foster plays, because you assume if the 49ers take him atop that first round that he's going to be starting. And maybe you put Malcolm Smith at Sam linebacker. Maybe he's a part-time player and you have Bowman as your Mike and Foster as your Will on the weak side, allowing him to utilize his speed and make sideline-to-sideline plays. But I think, you know, it would be a good pick because he solidifies the middle of the defense, which was such an issue last year after Bowman was hurt. And I think it's fair to say that you can't really rely on Bowman to play 16 games, just given his injury history. So, you know, with Smith and Bowman already there, it might not be the biggest need. I know, you know, the 49ers caught some flack in free agency for giving Smith that 5-year deal, but in reality, it's a 3-year deal. It has an opt-out clause from the team after giving him $16 million over those 3 years. So it shouldn't preclude them from taking a linebacker. Rob, what do you think about that pick?
Well, I think, you know, despite all of the, you know, what-ifs or could-bes or rumors and stuff like that, I think it was a pretty logical pick. It makes a ton of sense. 49ers were the absolute worst they've ever been against the run last year. So defensive line, which they've got a lot of investments in, and a linebacker is the surest way to fix that up. So I think it makes a ton of sense. It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest that they went that route. Just reading up, I saw a lot of like pro comparisons comparing Reuben Foster to Patrick Willis. So and that's lofty comparison. You know, we know how good Patrick Willis was, obviously. But if you're going to put a guy next to Navarro Bowman, why not be a guy who's being compared to Patrick Willis and get that defense back to form that it used to be? You know, that's not to say that Reuben Foster is going to be as good as Patrick Willis, but if you can get a guy that's even in that realm, it's going to work wonders for that defense. And I also read a little bit saying, and obviously I don't know enough about the specific fits on my own to make this declaration myself, but I read that Reuben Foster would be best as a weak side linebacker, just kind of getting to patrol and use that closing speed of his to just beeline for the ball. And then that would leave Bowman at Mike. And then, you know, you could probably do Malcolm Smith at Sam if that's a good fit for him. So it makes a ton of sense. And it has a really like a deep impact on the defense. And it shores up a lot of things that have been a problem in the past. So
yeah, one of the things that I'm glad Miller touched on, it seems like there's a little bit of a lack of depth when it comes to particularly free safety. And given, you know, what the 49ers are going to need from that position going forward, and they don't know if Jimmy Ward's going to be able to play that spot or not, or if he should play that spot, I still think he's probably their best option covering the slot in nickel and dime situations. So I don't know that, you know, I've written and mocked Malik Hooker should be the 49ers pick at two, just given how unique his skill set is. And I think after Buda Baker, who would be a logical pick at 34, who's very similar to Ward, I think, in a number of different ways. He's another guy who can play the slot. They're similar builds. You know, the 49ers might struggle to find that true deep safety for their scheme. So I wonder if the fact that there is a lack of depth at that position, if it's going to maybe push Malik Hooker up their boards. And I'm really curious to see where he goes because, you know, Eric Berry was the last free safety to go top 10. And there could be two that go top 10 in this draft with Hooker and LSU's Jamal Adams. So, and both would fit what the 49ers want to do. You know, they have Eric Reed and Jaquaski Tartt. And Saleh said Reed will play strong safety. I presume that Tartt will too. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the free safeties in this class and maybe, you know, if the 49ers do trade back a few spots, maybe if they trade to number 8 with Carolina, who's been rumored to be, you know, heavily thinking about Leonard Fournette, maybe Malik Hooker's still there, or maybe even Reuben Foster's still there at 8. Derek Barnett would probably be at 8, like he mentioned. So I'm really curious to see how that shakes out, because like I said, I ultimately think Hooker is going to be the best fit and the best pick just because of how valuable that position is to San Francisco's defense.
Well, like we've talked about in the past, you have to take into account, you know, a lot of draft analysts and draft Twitter, I guess you could say, they like to say that you never take into account need and you always take best player available, which is true to an extent. But when you have the type of void that the 49ers have at the back of their defense, like you said, they got to be considering Hooker. And if not Hooker, then maybe Baker at 34. It doesn't really seem like he could wait past 66 in the third round to address that, because they've got Ward, who hasn't even played the position since college, and even then he was all over the field. And if Ward goes down, or if Ward doesn't pan out how they want him to, then who's going to step in and fill that role? Because we know Ward's decent at cornerback, so if he ends up there, that's fine. But then they still don't have somebody to fill that free safety role, and we know how important it is. So it's just, it seems like no matter what, even if they don't go that route in round one, they can't ignore it. You know, they didn't sign a free agent that could fill that position, so no matter what, they can't ignore it. But as far as Hooker goes, I don't really see him. It obviously depends on how the first round shakes out. But the Los Angeles Chargers at 7, you know, they lost Eric Weddle. So, and I don't really think they've brought anybody in to fill that role. And I've seen him mock to the Chargers a lot when he wasn't going to the 49ers. So,
because they have Gus Bradley, who's also going to run that similar Seahawks-style defense.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to be looking at Malik Hooker with the same type of eye as the 49ers are, because they have pretty much the same defense. So that puts the 49ers in a position of, if we think Malik Hooker is the fit that we kind of know he is, we know he's a fit. It's just a matter of whether or not they believe he's a fit at number two. You know, they're probably going to have to either, if they're looking to trade back, they're going to have to do it before the Chargers, or they're just going to have to, you know, risk it. So it's an interesting dynamic between, you know, balancing that, you know, where do we have this guy valued versus the fact that they just downright need him.
Yeah, and we'll end with a little bit of breaking news. Matt Maiocco, friend of the site, is reporting that Leonard Fournette is going to have a pre-draft visit with the 49ers. And I think, you know, Miller's talked about the 49ers really liking Fournette, and maybe there is a strong possibility that he ends up being the number two player on their board just because of all the questions with all the other guys. You have Foster, who is coming off shoulder surgery and won't be available until the summertime. Malik Hooker's obviously had hip surgery, and he won't be available for a little while. He hasn't been able to work out at all. There's, you know, Jonathan Allen has shoulder questions about his arthritic shoulders after having surgery in college. So maybe Leonard Fournette has climbed his way up to the number two spot on their board, and they take him regardless of their history, regardless of, you know, Kyle Shanahan and Bobby Turner being able to get so much production out of running backs taken in the middle and late rounds. So, you know, I'm very curious to see, and I think it was interesting to note that Miller pointed out how many guys the 49ers have indicated that they like in this draft. And, you know, John Lynch has taken DeShone Kizer out to dinner, and he met with Patrick Mahomes and Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson, and the 49ers are really keeping quiet about who they like and any leanings that they might have leading into this draft. So, you know, we really have no idea who they're going to pick. Maybe they surprise us and they reach for somebody. Maybe they take Derek Barnett second because they think he could come in and be a double-digit sack guy really early in his career. Or maybe they buck all conventional wisdom and say Leonard Fournette's the second-best player in this draft. And they end up taking him. And, you know, I think Fournette makes sense for what they want to do, particularly with Kyle Shanahan running so many plays. You know, one under center, the Niners aren't going to be a shotgun-only offense like they've been the last couple years. They're going to be running a lot of stuff under center, which is where Fournette's best, is a deep back, able to, you know, build up some momentum before he gets to the line of scrimmage, and they'll be running the outside zones that presumably would be a good fit for Fournette and his speed and combination of physicality, you know, pressuring defenses along the edges with his downhill running style. I think that would be a good fit, but I wouldn't take Fournette just because I don't value the position that way, particularly with the way the roster is constructed. If you don't think Carlos Hyde is a fit, then maybe you look in the second, third, fourth round, fifth round even. You know, this is a really, really deep class of running backs. And like I mentioned, the 49ers have a history of developing that position. Or at least Shanahan and Bobby Turner, you know, all those guys have found value late in the draft with some of these running backs. So I don't know that, you know, given where the 49ers are and the way they're building this team, or the way they should build this team, I think they should take a defender. one of the defensive players with their first pick, and Fournette to me doesn't make a ton of sense, but I could see it. So what, I mean, I don't know. Where do you stand on the idea of the 49ers taking Fournette?
It's tough, man. It's tough. I mean, it's, you can watch Fournette, and there's obvious, undeniable talent there. I mean, the guy's been the figurehead of LSU's offense since he came out of high school, and everybody even knew about him coming out of high school. You know, he's had this huge name, and his production lived up to the name. There's no denying that. But, you know, like you said, it's just tough when this team needs so many different players. It's tough to say, okay, take a running back at two, because on the list of the long list of needs for this team, I don't think running back would rank that highly on him. And he might be the second best player on their board, but then you have to take into account just where your roster sits and you know, where your investments go into bringing that roster up. So in a way, it makes me fall back a little bit on the same idea I have when it comes to quarterbacks, and the fact that if Kyle Shanahan sees something in this player that he values that highly, it's not like Lynch and Shanahan don't know that they have the second overall pick, and they don't know the value that they're looking at. So if those two guys have gotten together and they see something in Leonard Fournette and they've got a plan with their offense that they think he's going to be a huge, huge part of, then who am I to say it's a dumb pick? I would go somewhere else. I think it's got to be in the defense. I mean, John Lynch himself, while he was a player, when he won the Super Bowl, did it on the backs of an incredible defense at Tampa Bay. So it's tough for me to say that. I guess you could say it'd be decently exciting. You know that a person taken that highly would have a huge role right out the gate. But it's a little weary, you know, especially having so many needs.
Yeah, and I'll end with this. You know, when the 49ers were good under Jim Harbaugh and they were competing for titles and conference championships, they had a really good running game. And what a good running game does is it makes things easier on your quarterback. And, you know, the 49ers had a good running game because they had a good running back in Frank Gore, and they had a really good offensive line, particularly when blocking the run, probably the best in the league at that time. So what a good running back does is it really helps your quarterback, and the 49ers are going to be looking to develop their quarterback, or, you know, obviously get the most out of Brian Hoyer if he ends up being the week one starter. Having a good running game and someone like Fournette could make Hoyer a more effective player. Or if they even draft a quarterback later in the second or third round, if it's someone like, you know, Nate Peterman or Brad Kier or whatever, and that guy ends up winning the starting job, having Fournette to hand the ball off to will make things easier for that player, in a similar vein to the way Ezekiel Elliott made things really easy on Dak Prescott. Not to diminish anything that Prescott did last year, but I don't think Prescott would have been in the MVP discussion, or Dallas would have been the number one overall seed in the NFC without Ezekiel Elliott making things easier on Dak Prescott and the Cowboys defense with their ability to control the tempo of the game and control the clock. So from that standpoint, you know, a really good running back and a good running game could influence the football team in a pretty significant way, because you're talking about controlling the tempo of games, getting your defense off the field so it can be more rested, unlike last year when, you know, the 49ers, and Chip Kelly's notorious for this, was, you know, not controlling the clock and time of possession and things like that. So from that standpoint and the overall impact of having a good running back, I could see it as making sense. But, you know, if you think you can get a guy in the fourth or fifth round who's not going to be an incredible drop off. I mean, look, they got Alfred Morris in the seventh round in 2012, and he came in and almost had 3,000 yards combined in his first two seasons. So that's where I'm at on that. I know you got something you want to say before we close this thing out.
Well, yeah, and one of the things that I think is you kind of have to look at is you mentioned Ezekiel Elliott, which is a good example. But context-wise, Dallas was so much better set up to receive a running back of that caliber.
Oh, I totally agree.
You know, they had at the time, they still had Tony Romo, great quarterback. They have great receivers. They have the best offensive line. They had every other aspect of their offense completely hammered out. And they were a good team that had the luxury of taking that player number four overall. Now, do the 49ers have that luxury except at number two overall? I would think not. You know, they have so many other needs. Their offensive line isn't nearly as good. They're not set at quarterback. The receivers are meh. So it's tough to justify that number two overall pick going to a running back. But, you know, like I said, if that's what Shanahan is seeing and he's got a plan for him, it's hard to doubt the guy given what he did in Atlanta.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out, because really no one knows what's going to happen. There are so many players that could be in play for that number two overall pick. the 49ers could trade back. We have a rookie GM and a rookie head coach calling the shots, and they have no track record, obviously, and it leaves us all to guess. So keep it locked to NinersWire.com. We're going to be trying to dive into every scenario possible. Shout out to Jared Brown, our contributor, who helped us get Matt Miller on the pod this week. Matt was great. Thanks to Matt for coming on. Rob, thank you, as always, for producing this thing.
Of course.
And I'm Chris Biederman, and we are out.